This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Thank you for being with us on The Vedic Wisdom. I want to talk to you about the perception versus the reality. As the moon, or a light, is reflected in water, it appears to tremble due to the qualities of the water. And similarly, we living entities who take a material body, we appear to take on the qualities and movements of matter, the material existence. Now, the moon's in the sky, and it's fixed. It is not quivering, but the moon in the water is quivering. So actually, the original moon in the sky is reflected in the water. So the reflection is quivering, but the actual moon is not quivering. So the water moves, but the moon doesn't move. But the appearance is that the moon is quivering. Now similarly, we living entities, when we take material bodies, we appear to be tainted by the material qualities, meaning we have desire, lamentation, hankerings, miseries. We have frustrations. In reality, our original pure self, we don't have any of these qualities. They're absent in the pure living being. But because we are in a material body, it appears that the body quivers with these miseries, anxiety, disease, old age, death, hankerings, I want something, can't have it, lamentation, I'm upset about that, lose something I want, I value very much. All of these difficulties that manifest in our lives are imposed upon the pure consciousness of the living being, you and I. So, taking a birth in the material world, we take on the quivering qualities. We appear to be unstable. We appear to be influenced. We appear to be suffering. We appear to have these problems. But in actuality, the eternal living entity does not have these qualities or characteristics. We have divine qualities. We are free from these sufferings that we're discussing here. They're not of our nature. They're not of our makeup. They are not a reflection of our divine qualities, our true self. They are impositions because of association with material matter, of temporary material body. Just as the moon appears to quiver because of the reflections quality of the water. The water is unstable, not the moon. Similarly, our bodies are full of these miseries and lamentations and difficulties, not you and I, the eternal living entity. And this is what meditation is about. You could stop and see that I'm witnessing all of these experiences and anxieties, but they're not me. They're happening to me. I'm submerged in them. They affect me. I'm noticing this and that and the other. I'm struggling with this and that and the other, but they're not actually me. They're external of me, but they're affecting me. So we have to understand, this is what meditation does. We separate ourselves from the problems in our lives caused by our material predicament and our particular material body. And we see ourselves as the witnessing living entity who is empowering the body to act or to defend or to achieve or desire or to suppress. We are doing the willing and enacting, but it's taking place through the facility of the material body, and therefore it's reflecting all of these difficulties. It's not the pure soul, you, and your divine qualities and divine desires that's the problem. It's it being perverted into a quivering state, an unstable condition because of the material predicament and the material body we're currently inhabiting. So we need to wake to the fact that if you pull back through meditation and you see that these things are separate from me, then you have to look the other direction. This is what meditation is about. Look within. If you actually are successful in meditation and you look within, you find there is a companion with you in the material body, the Lord Himself, in His Paramatma expansion, Super Soul expansion. And He is accompanying you, and He's being quiet as long as you want Him to. Yet if you stop and you listen, you notice my intuition is actually the voice of God within. And if I understand that, I can hear, I can take guidance, and I can communicate the other way, and I begin the fulfillment of meditation. I'm linking with the Supreme Consciousness that is accompanying me wherever I go, right here, right now, in this particular material body. And I can derive a vast number of benefits to my conscious development. First of all, you never feel alone. Loneliness is a terrible feeling, terrible experience. And if you recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His Super Soul expansion is there in your heart, in the body with you, accompanying you on your sojourn through life, and you're never alone, and you can always talk and listen to Him if you simply calm the mind and senses and put the bodily demands aside and meditate on yourself, the soul, and your eternal relationship with the eternal Lord, the relationship on that platform immediately grows. And we see that. There are people that have a moment's pure perception. Just 10 seconds of pure exchange of conscious awareness between God and themselves within their own heart in a meditative state, and they're changed the rest of their life. Near-death experiences are similar because the body becomes inert and the conscious living being is freed from the bodily's distractions and problems, and he focuses on who's with me here. The Supreme Lord answers, I am your eternal friend. And you can get guidance. And then if you're asked or instructed, however it may be, to return to the consciousness of the body, you're different. You have an awareness, you have an understanding, you have a perception that is freed from all the noise, shall we call it, that the material body and the material existence puts upon you. And you can free yourself from the misconception of identifying that I'm the body, because you've experienced I'm conscious separate of the body. I'm witnessing the body. And this is where meditation is taking you. You can calm the mind, focus the intelligence, control the senses, and you find, I'm witnessing all of this. Me, the conscious being, is witnessing all of this. And I'm not actually suffering those things, desiring those things, experiencing those things, forced by those things that the body is. This is the meditative state where one becomes free from the bodily conception of life. And simultaneously, he's free to look within and see, I have an intimate friend who's communicating to me as my conscience and my intuition. And I can get guidance, and I can develop a friendship. I can develop love. I can experience love of God in my pure state, because that's what you have to qualify for an exchange relationship with God. A purified state, selfless state of mind. I'm here to revive my eternal consciousness. I've got the body quiet, calmed down, shut down. It's not bothering me now. And I'm focusing on my eternal relationship with the Lord. And I'm asking questions, I'm offering service, and immediately the Lord goes, this is what I've been waiting for. And he speaks. He has his own will. He can speak as he sees fit. No one controls the Lord. But when he sees the sincerity of the individual, he is merciful and he reciprocates. So this is a successful meditator, a yogi, if you will. He actually gets beyond the bodily, mental, intellectual platform and raises himself to the devotional, selfless service platform. Then he's qualified. Then everything external is not very important and cannot cause him anxiety any longer. The misconception of self-identity can gradually diminish by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when one sincerely frees himself from the selfish conception of life and desires to render service. Devotional service to the Lord is in the mode of detachment from the material perspective of life is the prerequisite consciousness. It is what you're supposed to achieve in meditation. It is what you're supposed to achieve by study and enlightenment. It is what you're supposed to achieve by the qualities of your purified work, pious activities, altruistic acts, everything, philosophical study, all of it is aimed at bringing you out of the bodily conception of life where you're suffering a variety of miseries and difficulties and place yourself in the devotional conception of life where detachment from all that material nonsense arises. And attachment to spiritual activities, duty, responsibility, love of God flourishes. That's called normal. That is the perfection of yoga. That is the perfection of meditation. So you have to learn through this process of educating yourself on through the Vedic literature of what is your actual predicament and situation. Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna? Inquire from the spiritual master as to how does one execute devotional service favorably. Adopt devotional service starting with hearing and chanting the names of God. And bring the mind under control and recognize that the teachings in the Vedic literature where Krishna speaks to you and Krishna in his super soul, Paramatma expansion within the heart where he speaks to you, and Krishna in the spiritual master who gives you untainted instructions and guidance for adopting Vedic consciousness and purifying yourself, they are all the same. And you start realizing that the platform of spiritual consciousness and Vedic literature and devotional service are one in many facets, and that you can connect, link to it. You can attach to it anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, once you have the knowledge and the training. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is that training program. It is protected by the chain of the spiritual masters, which I tell you regularly, so that you get a fair go. You get a pure opportunity to understand in proper perspective. No nonsense tainted, no revision, no 57,000th edition. First edition is every edition. It's pure, untainted information so you can understand that the spiritual master, the Vedic literature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, or in the deity, or in the Supreme Person himself, are all the same perspective, knowledge, level, conception of selfless devotional service is our happiness. And you can develop that in the association of purified souls by reading the Vedic literature, by rendering the service. The enlightenment is in the service. Vedic literature says it repeatedly. You start out a little bit on faith. And you start out following the instructions of the spiritual master because you've been told this is the way to do it. Do it, it will work out. Follow obediently. But as you render devotional service, enlightenment automatically comes because the Lord in the heart is there to energize and answer all of your misgivings. You get solutions. And you get them in such a wonderful way that sometimes you'll be doing something and it will suddenly you'll see what you're doing versus what you thought you were doing, or what it means versus what you thought it means, or why you're here versus what you thought you were here for. And you see it in a demonstrative method, in 3D reality, and it becomes realized knowledge, not book learning. Realized knowledge. Realized knowledge does not go away. Just like we said earlier, in the meditative state, if you actually communicate with the super soul and you have the association of hearing and interacting with the Lord, you are different. It doesn't, you can't go back. You can't undo it, not have that experience. And similarly, when you make association with the spiritual master, the Vedic literature, the super soul within the heart, the supreme personality of Godhead, and the service to the Lord, you can't go back. It purifies you. You learn to reflect your divine qualities. They're already there. We've covered that already. You've got all these issues that cover the pure living entity, just like the quivering in the water makes one think the moon's quivering. But when you look actually at the moon, it's fixed. There's no quivering. Similarly, when you actually uncover and reflect your divine qualities, there is no lamentation. There is no suffering, no anxieties. It doesn't matter. Detachment. You become aloof, free from the misconceptions that are imposed upon us by nature, imposed upon us by our bodies, imposed upon us by our social interaction. So this is the science side of God realization. This is the understanding at the root that you are an eternal living entity and you have an eternal duty and responsibility, and that's where you'll find the eternal happiness you're looking for. And that if you use the opportunities provided to you in the Vedic literature, in the disciplic succession of spiritual masters, and in the association of spiritually enlightened beings, you can free yourself and develop attachment for spiritual activities and detachment from material activities in opposite proportions. Right now, we're stuck in a massive amount of material activities and minimal amount of spiritual activities. And we gradually move the dial to where the amount of spiritual activities increases dramatically, and simultaneously the material sufferings diminish proportionately. So we have to study this science of God realization, and that dial starts to turn immediately. And by your own enthusiasm, by your own endeavor, by your own determination, you can make it go fast or slow. Your free will is still important here. So many people think, oh, I don't want to become subordinate to God. I don't want to be subordinate to anybody. I am independent. Hogwash. We are subordinate at every step. Why be subordinate to a madness society or a government of selfish criminals, when you can be subordinate to the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is accompanying you right here, right now, and has always been? And you develop a subordinate, interactive, selfless service of devotion where you exhibit your divine qualities, and the Lord is so pleased with you, the absolute happiness of the eternal platform becomes yours. Detachment from material anxieties and sufferings automatically manifests. The divine qualities of purity and vibrancy automatically develop. They're there. You are a pure divine being. You're simply reflecting the material existence like the moon is reflecting the quivering in the water. So go ahead and meditate, if you will. Calm the mind, control the senses, focus the intelligence. Read the Vedic literature so you understand the perspective of how the Lord expands himself into the super soul incarnation and accompanies you in the body without your perceiving it until he believes you're ready. And then work to make yourself ready, qualified. Use your good qualities. Reflect your divine qualities to become worthy of the Lord's acknowledgement. Now that person sincerely is trying to do what's right. And immediately that invokes divine compassion and mercy. And who doesn't need that? Now there's so many people and perspectives about we need some divine intervention. There's so much problem in the world. Somebody's got to intervene. It's going crazy. Somebody's got to fix it. It will only be fixed for those who are qualified, who have given up the selfish insanity, giving up the misidentity, given up the quivering qualities of the water, and have fixed themselves in the devotional perspective of life, the true understanding of who you really are, and reflect your divine qualities. So this is the perspective that the Vedic literature brings to the table. This is what is actually going to make a difference. This is what meditation is all about. That you become qualified for the Lord to reciprocate with you because he's satisfied you've breached the barrier of selfishness. And you're becoming detached from the very things that are giving you so much anxiety. And you're seeking to become purified. You're seeking to do something valuable. You're seeking to understand your eternal occupation and revive that occupation. And you know yourself that you are different from the body. You are the witness of the body. You are energizing the body. You have ownership temporarily of the temporary body. But you are the eternal conscious living entity, thinking, feeling, willing, and looking for a solution to the anxieties material life causes. And the answer is in spiritual life, where your divine qualities liberate you, and your selflessness makes you qualified. Your earnest desire to revive your normal occupation of servant of God. You're not being taught this in school, in your family, in your life, in anything. And that's why there's anxiety in this society from top to bottom. They've dropped the ball when it comes to the most important stuff. Just like I've used the example before. The mathematics professor, he knows all of the stuff that's important in mathematics. The beginner, he can count. And as you end up working your way up to all the things that are in mathematics, not very many people get all the way up to the top of knowing the absolute subtleties of mathematics. So the average, the social perspective, is something lesser. This is what we have to do, is rise above this something lesser. The society's not teaching the topmost understanding. It's left for the Vedic literature. It's protected by the chain of spiritual masters. It's where you can get it in proper perspective. The Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the author. And he's the guide, the transparent via media to give you the truth without adulteration. Take the opportunity of learning the Vedic literature, exhibit your divine qualities, become qualified to render loving service to the Lord, to being a purified soul.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.